This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode. Good day, everybody. This is the second episode of the special podcast series that we are doing live from New York. It sounds really like Saturday Night Live, right? So, really excited with the second episode. And, you know, as always, I'm delighted with today's guest who will introduce herself. Marianne.
Oh, hi. I'm Mariana Malgai. I'm from Buenos Aires, from Argentina. I work in Fundación Hora de Obrar, which is a faith-based organization, which work in Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. And I'm a social communicator, so I'm very glad to be here recording this.
This is great. And I have to apologize because we should be doing this in Spanish, but I said to Mariana earlier that I'm only at lesson two of Duolingo for my Spanish, so maybe... Hopefully next time we can do it in Spanish, right? So, I'm really grateful that you're willing to talk with me today. Can you tell me something and the listeners that, 2 weeks of the Commission on the Status of Women, you know, why are you here and what do you hope to achieve this week?
Okay, I am here as a part of a member of the delegation of ACT Alliance, and also representing a community of practice which work with gender justice in Latin America. And what I hope is to really meet an agreement that is actually fulfilled. I don't know if it's the word, the right word, but that the states really take action towards gender justice and not only keep it in a paper, you know. That's what I want. I know this year is particularly difficult, and that there are big backlashes all over the world. I really... new and big example is what is going on now in Argentina, in my country. So yeah, I know it's a big global backlash, and I'm very concerned about it.
And hopefully we can make a difference this week. I have three quick questions for you, and that is one, you were alluding to the fact that you're part of a ACT Alliance delegation. So just for the listeners, ACT Alliance is a network of organizations that work on development and emergency response, of Christian faith, right?
Exactly.
And so, then when you were talking about a lot of pushback and a lot of problems, how come? What is that exactly when you mentioned this? You know.
Well, in Argentina, some organizations, some leaders talk about not backlash, but I would say revenge, a patriarchal revenge against women movements and diversity movements. And it has a very, it's very linked with the financial structure and capitalist structure. And I think it's a global plan. I don't know if it's the word, but to really keep power in the hands of a few individuals and a few corporate.
And you know what I understood so far is, many are talking, although it's only day one of the the CSW68. Yeah. I've heard many people talk about this year is really relevant because of there are so many elections going on globally.
Mm-hmm.
But I think similar to my country, your country just finished their elections already.
Yeah.
So what has happened?
Really bad things are happening in Argentina and really fast and furious.
Mm-hmm.
our new government assumed in December, mm-hmm. last December. So we have, I think it's been 3 months. And the government of Milei is really going for all. It's all in against social protection, against the care system, against rights. And he's using the institutional mechanism, mm-hmm. the state, to exploit the environment, to really go against our rights. And eventually, he wants no state at all. Mm-hmm. He wants to privatize, social care systems, everything. And I think it's a really massive attack to solidarity, to the things that keep us together as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going, so fast and so... fast that it's really difficult to react or to resist this big backlash or this.
Mm-hmm. But then, Marianne, yep. some of the listeners would ask themselves, well, when they listen to you is, but okay, why did the people of Argentina then vote for him? So how did that happen?
Okay, the economic situation in Argentina wasn't very, very good
mm-hmm.
Before the elections. There is a discourse and there are facts also about corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of arguments are used not only in Argentina, but also in every country where the right wings win the elections. There is big inflation and there are problems that are structural in the countries of the global south. So these problems, I think our democracies are in debt mm-hmm. to solve these big issues that we are dealing with. And this is used as a tool to say, okay, we don't need democracy at all, we don't need the state at all, and to replace these common structures with the market, mm-hmm. as if it was efficient so I think many people really believed that maybe it was a good solution. Many people were really angry mm-hmm. also. I think also the pandemic really affect us, our social bounds. I'm mixing the words, I'm sorry. But it affected split our communities. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so people think they are by themselves and they want to believe something is something good will happen. But now many people are realizing that something's it's not going so good
mm-hmm.
as they thought. So I hope people can wake up soon mm-hmm. and really stop this tragedy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if there are, I mean, there are still many countries out there mm. that are going to vote this year. I mean, episode one was with a guest from India. So what is your advice of somebody that is
living in a country where you already voted, what would you advise?
I don't know if I have an advice, mm-hmm. but I think it's good to see also the big where the money comes from, which organizations, global organizations, are actually funding these movements, these right wing movements, and to understand that it's a global thing, mm-hmm. and yeah, not all is our fault as people of every country. There are big interests, foreign interests, that are playing a role, and I think it's good to see it and to try to talk with people, do these things like you are doing now, and to approach people, and yeah, really have maybe simple conversations, and to talk about what we feel, what we want, and try to make people also think critically about our political situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what definitely is going on, you know, during CSW. There are a lot of conversations, a lot of different meetings where people discuss, try to influence the different states. What are you specifically passionate about, you know, in while being here during these 2 weeks?
I like to focus in decolonize the development mm-hmm. cooperation. I think it's a point for me. I work with an organization which receive funds from other countries, some rich countries. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to decolonize, in the sense that local communities know what they need and know how to solve their own problems. And I think it's very important to hear these local communities mm-hmm. and to strengthen local leadership, especially from women. And to make the criteria less bureaucratic mm-hmm. and more flexible, mm-hmm. and also with a very much more larger budget on gender justice. That's what I like to my humble message. That's what I think it would be really helpful.
Yeah, and as part of the ACT Alliance delegation, what I understood is, you know, there are different documents and demands that are being submitted to the different states, or the delegation tries to, that it will be incorporated in the final report and in the final documents of at the end of the 2 weeks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. We try to advocate mm-hmm. with our governments. In some cases, there are these contacts we can meet or submit at least a comment. Mm-hmm. And in some other cases, it's much more difficult. But we support each other and try to, support our partners from other regions and think together how we can, have a voice as a faith-based organization, but from a right perspective, mm-hmm. human rights perspective.
Okay, yeah. Are faith-based organizations different than any other development organization?
I think they are different, in the sense that faith is the big the root of mm-hmm. of their jobs, programs, social programs. But on the other hand, there are also like other organizations, social organizations. Mm-hmm. In many parts of the world, religion is still a big thing. Mm-hmm. And Latin America also, but for example, in Argentina, most of the civil organizations are, secular, yes. But yeah, I know it's very different in Africa, for example, mm-hmm. Where the state and religion go together.
Yeah, in the end.
So I think, faith-based organizations can be transformative actors and can, help to deliver those difficult conversations and try to open also other senses, the spirituality of people. Yeah, I think there is a key.
Some added value.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I'd like to think it.
Mm.
That's why I work in a faith-based organization, mm-hmm. but I'm not a member of the church.
Before we go, I still have a question about the younger generation,
mm-hmm.
Because if you know the fact that. My question is, what do you see happening among the younger generation in terms of, you know, gender equality work, speaking out? Is your organization, do you have, you know, a big portion of the staff are from the younger generation, or no, is it more difficult to reach out? Tell a little bit about what you see in your community.
Yeah, a big portion of the staff is young, not really, really, really young, not in the 20s, but between 25 and 35.
Okay.
And there is also a program who accompanies the youth of the church who founded my organization, mm-hmm. who creates my organization. So youth, it's a priority for us. Mm-hmm. And what I think is happening with youth, it's a thing for me. I'm reflecting about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer.
No.
I'm 32, so I'm young, but not that young. Mm-hmm. So it's a question for me. I think young women are, They are fighting for their rights. They have a voice. They want things to change. I think there is. I want to say a word. I don't know.
Say it in Spanish.
Desafío.
Okay.
It's not a problem, but something you want to achieve.
Okay.
That it's difficult.
A challenge?
A challenge, yes. I think that there is a challenge with young men.
Hmm.
But I don't really know. I think the state also forget about youth.
Hmm.
And pandemic also affected this population in a very strong way. Yeah, special way. So I think I had to reflect more about it.
Okay.
Really.
I would like to make a little jump and although I definitely think this question is also related, but I music is very important to me, so I always have a question about music as well. If I ask you to mention a piece of music or a song that inspires you or reflects your journey in gender equality or gender equity, which song or piece of music would that be, and why does it resonate with you?
I like a Chilean musician.
Yeah.
I think French Chilean is Anita Dixux.
Okay.
I like all of our all songs, so yeah. I can't pick one. But yeah, I think I like her. I forgot the word again. Yes.
We might get there together. So yeah, describe it.
It's to say what's wrong with mm-hmm. reality. To.
Okay. So she makes observations about the challenges in life.
Yeah.
And obstacles in life that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does she give advice? Or is it more only...
Yeah, no,
only
yes. She's inspiring. She makes you feel you can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gives you energy after you listen to her.
Yeah.
So she doesn't only observe and describes problems and issues, but she also provides tools for you to...
Yeah. Exactly.
That you can cope with it. Okay. I don't know her, but I will,
okay,
I will
I
check
can
her out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will check
give
her out.
You a link.
Okay. So, you know, my normal, my longer podcast episode, they always go fast, but this one of 15, 20 minutes really goes fast.
Yeah.
That's why I also included a list of rapid fire questions. So if you can try to answer really short, that would be great. If I ask you in one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier to gender equality globally?
I would say capitalism.
Yes or no? Can technology significantly accelerate gender equality?
I'd say technology is not neutral. I can't say yes or no. I think it's not. It's whether it's a tool for freedom or for oppression.
Okay. Who is one person that has significantly influenced your approach to gender equality?
My mom.
What's one book you recommend everyone reads to understand gender equality better?
Okay, I think it's not for everyone, but I like King Kong Theory from Virgin Despent.
Okay. Depends. Okay. In three words, how do you envision the future of gender equality?
Anti-racist, fair, and good living.
Okay. If you could change one thing about the world today to advance gender equality, what would it be?
I would reform the transnational financial system if I could.
Okay. It almost sounds like more than one thing, right?
No?
Okay. What message would you send to your future self 5 years from now regarding your work in gender equality?
Be brave, be patient, be wise, and you're not alone.
Beautiful. You would like to come back to any of the one of the rapid fire questions to explain maybe more why you said yes or no, or are you good?
The one which was trouble for me mm-hmm. was the question about technology.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't answer yes or no because, as I said, it's not the technology is not neutral. I think if it's well used or instrumentalized for recollect data, for connect people, for women to access to healthcare, education, information. I think technology is okay, but if it's used to control us,
mm-hmm.
if it's used to against freedom of speech or as a way to spread fake news or hate speech, mm-hmm. yeah, then I would say no, I prefer to no internet and and go back to the analog paradigm, but today I think it's not really possible to go back.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so I'd like, you know, to that I hope that this podcast also contributes to connecting people. And again, we don't have, for me, well, it would be great, but the reality is we will never probably agree, you know, on everything with each other. But at least I think what's necessary is to have more conversations. Mm-hmm. Try to focus on where you might agree. And therefore, I think we need to listen more carefully to each other. So I hope that this particular podcast contributes to that. And what I've done is always connect my guests through questions to each other, with each other. So the question that I have for you of the previous guest is...
I would ask, can we see everyone as one family? Why do we see some people as others? And based on that, we discriminate and we keep them away. And they are not able to have the rights and opportunities which others could have. Especially women, people of color, people who migrate, all fall under the category. We don't see them as our own. Why? How that difference happened?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I think it's really challenging. I think it's a historical issue in, I think it has happened to us as humanity always.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer. I really don't have the answer. I hope we could communicate more as humans, as equals. But I know also we are not really equal. When a few people hold power to oppress the majority of us. So, yeah, it's I don't think I could answer the question. I don't know why.
Okay. No, but I actually think that with your answer, you know, on the one hand, you know, some people might say, oh, this is depressing that humans have always done this.
Yeah.
On the other hand, maybe it is also, because I've heard also some people say, oh, you know, we live in a world that's terrible. It's never been as terrible. But, you know, hearing you say, well, it has always been there. So... You know, and then when you go back in history, there were good, you know, there have been good times and bad times and good times and bad times. So maybe that gives us, you know, some energy to, you know, not to accept it. Yes, it has always been there, but there have always been, there also has been times where life maybe was good, maybe never for all everybody. But yeah, we need to continue to work on that. So, you know, it depends on, I think, on how you look at that. So I appreciate your answer.
Yeah, and humans are the only beings that in this world that can think about these realities and really transform the reality. So we can do it. I think we have the power to do it.
I think, you know, a lot of people that are listening would appreciate in hearing you and get, you know, energy out of that. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, these conversations always go fast. So before I thank you for your willingness to talk with me and, you know, sharing your wisdom, is any question that I should have asked you that I didn't?
Yeah, maybe a question about communication.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it now.
Yeah, what should I have asked you? Why you are working in the field of communication?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. So why are you in the field of communication working there?
I think I like to say I contribute or I help people to express themselves, to express their points of view. Yeah, and I think it's really, really important to work with social organizations, with marginalized people, which people who don't really have access to the media or to basic infrastructure, to internet. And to help to hear from them to so that they can be able to express themselves, mm-hmm. to share their points of view.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's great. So, you know, keep on doing what you do. And thank you so much. And again, I encourage people to check out the ACT Alliance. And what was the name of your organization again?
Hora de Obrar. Fundación Hora de Obrar.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on 100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.